Today we're going to return back to the book of Luke in chapter 2. I'll be reading out of the ESV, Luke chapter 2, and I'd ask you to stand for the reading of God's word. Luke chapter 2 says this, "And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to the custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, 'Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress.' And he said to them, 'Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?' And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man." Father, as we approach this new year, give us fresh eyes to see you. Continue the surgery on our heart that we so desperately need. Lord, we thank you that you have given us your word to guide, correct, and comfort. Give us faith to receive your word, understanding to know what it means, and to put it into practice by the power of the Holy Spirit and through your Son, Jesus Christ. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. The title of this morning's message is "They Misplaced Jesus." I don't know if you've ever lost one of your kids, like in a department store or something. I remember one time, Jessie went to try something on in the fitting room, and I don't know if she handed me her pocketbook because I usually resist that, but I did have the task of watching our two sons while she was trying on whatever she was trying on. And they were probably about 7 or 8 years old. And the next thing I know, my son Mitchell was missing. And the first thought that came to my head is, I better find this kid before she gets out that dressing room. So you know, when it first happens, you try to be cool about it. You know, you're just kind of looking around. And as time sets in and panic starts to set in, you're like, whoa, wait a minute. Now you start looking at exits, and in the midst of that, she comes out. She didn't have to ask any questions. She looked at my face. She knew something had gone on, and she scanned and said, "Where's Mitchell?" And there's only one answer you could give to that. He was just right here. She yells out, "Mitchell!" And Mitchell comes out of the circular clothing rack in the middle and dips out like it was a joke. And Jesse is looking at me like, and you wonder why us mothers consider you men junior parents. That is not a good feeling. But imagine misplacing Jesus. That brings a new meaning to, oh God, where are you? My first point is never get so comfortable in your relationship with God that you take your eyes off of Jesus. It says, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12, they went up according to the custom. Every year they went on this pilgrimage from Nazareth to Jerusalem, which was about 90 miles away, on foot. It took days. And some of you guys are still coming late to church. Or like, oh, it's a bit chilly outside. I'll watch online. That's not church. 90 miles on foot, they would go on this pilgrimage. And they took this trip, and this particular year, they're on their way home. They're a day into the journey, and they realize Jesus was not there. How long would it take for you to recognize you're not walking with the Lord? You haven't spoken to him, nor have you heard his voice. There's only one way that could take place, and it is focusing on like your own time frame, your agenda, where you got to get to, and the people around him, because it says that they were obviously with a big group of people. And now at this point, they're checking with the relatives and with the acquaintances, and he's not around. We already know that both Joseph and Mary were godly people. That's God chose them. Even godly people can get off track and take their eyes off of Jesus. Even going through with your religious exercises, remember where they were? They were taking this 90-mile journey to the temple for Passover. It was a good thing. It was the right thing. It's what devout Jews did. Which brings me to the second point. Proximity and mission are not the same. Just because you're hanging around, it does that not mean that you're a part of what's going on. Sometimes we're just kind of like going through the motions. As we reset this year, like we all have like soft resets and hard resets and start telling ourselves, well, this is what I'm going to do moving forward. Let's remember that we have to stay aware of what Jesus is doing. It says, and when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. Sometimes we have to go back where we left off with Jesus. Like, what was I doing when Jesus seemed so close? When I'm talking to him and he's talking to me. It says, after 3 days, they found him in the temple sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And his parents saw him. They were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." Now, I know that Jesus is without sin. So the question becomes, did they leave Jesus or did Jesus leave them? Well, I know from experience, God never leaves us. And often we ask the same question. Like, we'll walk away, we start doing our thing, we get a little distance away, and then we're like, "God, why have you treated me so? Like, I was right here. You went off where you were going in your own time frame, on your own agenda with the people that you left with." We distance ourselves, finding ourselves in distress, and then ask God about what he did. And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" Another translation says, "I must be about my Father's business." First he says, "Did you not know?" And then after he made his statement, the text says, they did not understand. Jesus was on mission. Like, we can't get off onto our own mission. And if you think about Jesus being on mission, one, there's nothing wasted in the Bible. The fact that he was 12, right, is right before what he would go through the next year, having bar mitzvah, being 13, being considered a man. And I don't think that that meant like a man, like pick up your camels, leave the house and start going on your own way. But things start to change. So he was right under that age, and he's sitting there with the teachers that would hang out kind of after Passover, because everyone made this pilgrimage. So you have like the top teachers of the law there. So they didn't come and find Jesus hanging out at the playground. No, he's sitting amongst them at 12 years old, and they're amazed at the questions that he's asking and the statements that he's making. How could that be? He's 12. That would seem impossible. But the answer is, God never ceases being God. Like, we have to remember that. In Mary's belly was God. In the manger was God. Sitting there amongst those teachers was God. Hanging on the cross was God. Jesus in his incarnation was 100% man and 100% God. He never ceased being God. Sometimes I think when we consider Jesus as a baby and we term it like the Son of God. Yes, he is the Son of God. He is God. I think sometimes we may not actualize it is God hanging on the cross for you and I. We meet in the morning and pray for the service as leaders, and we read a text. And the text that we read today was speaking about the day of the Lord, was mentioned in one of the songs, and how terrible that day will be for some, but not for God's children. how final that day is going to be, but not for God's children. Because judgment will come to all. But because God hung on a cross, we don't have to be frightened about that day. He paid the price. Joseph and Mary just sidetracked a little bit off this mission, obviously, and I read some commentaries. They didn't want to, like, kind of beat up on them. All I know is what happened to me when I couldn't find my child that dipped inside the middle of the thing. Now, God's looking down. Jesus don't need them for him to be okay. But they had to take their eye on him. They made assumptions about where Jesus would be and what Jesus was doing instead of keeping their eye on him. God is always moving toward consummation, toward the final result. We can't stay still believing that, well, I know where God was yesterday. I know where he was in 2024. No, we're moving towards something. We need to walk in the Spirit. Don't get used to yesterday. Don't live in your regular routine of coming to church and reading your word and not think about, no, like life is marching on and God is doing something now, presently. Don't hold on to yesterday's victories or defeats. We have to keep moving forward. What I liked the best about this story was my last point, that Jesus went through every stage of life for us. It says, and the child grew. Jesus did not come as a full-grown man the way Adam was made. No, Jesus experienced every single stage. He went through all the growing pains. He can identify with all that we go through. Every part of human development. The text says, and the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and then the favor of the Lord was upon him. Hebrews chapter 4, starting at verse 14, says, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize, with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy. It's like we spoke of earlier when Elder Frankie was here. No, we have not lived perfectly, so we need mercy and find grace to help in need, in time of need. And then the text ends with, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. He was submissive to them. He humbled himself. Imagine being a sibling of a perfect brother. Like, that's hard. It's like you getting in trouble and he's not. What would even be harder is imagine being a parent of a perfect child. Like, I know this is conjecture, but like, they lived in a real house. Mary and Joseph were sinners. I could imagine them like having words. And just look it over. And Jesus just standing there. He ain't gonna say anything. He humbled himself. A son that you need more than he needs you. Who do you think was in a worse condition? That 12-year-old Jesus in the temple or his parents, full grown, going back off home without Jesus? They needed him more than he needed them. He humbled himself. This is God who has come to earth. Philippians chapter 2 tells us, in being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. Our text today ends with him saying, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. You can come on up, worship team. We're about to take communion. Remember that communion is for the believer. No matter what state the believer finds themselves in, before you take the elements, spend some time in reflection with the Lord. Consider the Lord that was read earlier and how we all come up short. But also consider the kindness, the mercy and grace of God and what he has done that we would be invited to his table. If you have a young one with you that does not fully understand the implications of what it means to come to the Lord's table, please have that child refrain. If you are not yet a believer, please refrain. Maybe by the end of this service, God would do a miraculous work in your heart, and you would be called the child of God. Text tells us now, his parents went up to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12, they went up according to his custom. You can come up, leaders that are going to serve, and the ushers can prepare. It tells us in Exodus chapter 12 that the final plague, this Passover that they were celebrating, was the final plague that was going to free Israel from their slavery, their bondage of being in Egypt. 9 other plagues had come, and now it came to the time where it would be the final plague. And it says, for I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and on all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the house where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. The fact that Joseph and Mary went to Jerusalem to the feast of the Passover, which is a shadow and type of the final Passover. The final lamb that would stand for eternity. The blood that has the power to cleanse us. The blood of Jesus atones for sins and provides forgiveness. The blood sanctifies believers, enabling them to live a holy life. The blood that establishes the new covenant. The blood that Jesus cleanses our consciousness and brings about peace. The blood that justifies believers, puts them in right standing with God. Jesus is the Passover lamb. So now as we take these elements, it's a time of reflection. The high price paid that God would hang on a cross to pay for our sins, that we would be considered righteous and right and holy in his people. So let's take time to reflect. Ushers, you can come forward. We'd ask that you would, as the ushers instruct you row by row, you would take your elements, return to your seat, just reflect on it for a few minutes, and I'll come back up and we will take communion together. Amen.